The FIR Podcast Network presents Amp Up Your Social Media, an audio podcast that brings you insights and ideas from the leading practitioners of social media marketing.
Amp Up Your Social Media is sponsored by GaggleAmp. Empower your employees, partners, and resellers to share your social media messages. And by SafeLinks. SafeLinks automatically tells you when links you put into social media go bad, so you can take action.
Here's your host, Glenn Gaudette.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Amp Up Your Social Media. My name is Glenn Gaudette. I am your host. And today I have Jason Malika. Jason, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Glenn. Glad to be here. Really appreciate it.
Jason, can you tell our audience a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Sure. I'm the president of JRMCom. It's a public relations and marketing consultancy located outside of Buffalo, New York. I've been doing my own consultancy now for 3 years. I'm originally in the television and radio industry for a long time, dating back to 1996. I decided after I helped launch Fox News Radio in 2003 that I would change my direction and get into public relations. And that's when I moved up to Western New York and started working for a small college up here in PR, and then worked for an agency outside of Buffalo, and then decided it was time to go out on my own. And that's what I've been doing since.
Jason, that's a very interesting background. And I think you probably bring a certain kind of filter to what you're doing now, coming from radio and TV. But I'm curious, at what point for you did you have that aha moment where it's like, social media, this thing's going to be pretty big. In fact, you know, might even be bigger than television and radio.
Yeah, you know, it was funny. In 2008, I had that aha moment, like, wow, you know, we really need to get on the bus. And I felt at that moment my career was either going to be spent in the old way of doing public relations and marketing, or I was going to have to really spread my wings and understand what the changing landscape was doing. So in 2008, it was that aha moment. It was like, wow, Twitter is really starting to show you how we can reach new audiences. Facebook was really starting to really explode in how people were using it. And we were just scratching the surface as marketers and PR pros, how we could really use these social tools to our advantage. And that's what I knew. It was 2008. I knew then that this was going to be something that was going to change. I wasn't saying I was the amazing Kreskin, but I knew in 2008 that this was going to be something that really was going to impact our world. And at that moment forward, I've jumped on board the social train.
So now that you've been doing social, you're doing consulting, tell us a little bit about the types of clients you have, and then I want to get into, you know, what are the big challenges for them. But I want people to understand the kinds of companies you're working with to give them a little bit of context.
I work with tourism clients. I have bed and breakfasts. I have small businesses. I have a client that's just about to launch their first product, a brewery. I deal with technology companies as well. I've worked with anyone from Fortune 500 companies to the smallest of businesses being two people. It's a great thing. The great thing about it is you see all sorts of clients and you see all sorts of people, how they use social. And that's the one thing that really, really is appealing to me, to see how we can impact their clients and their business with social.
So tell me of all the challenges, and I'm sure you deal with a lot of challenges with your clients that you're helping them out with, which ones rise to the top for you?
You know, even in it being 2014, it's still trying to sell social to people that this is something that's not going away. People are finally starting to understand that it's not going away, but it's still tough to get people to say, you know what, look, you need a Facebook page. You can't just have a website. While you may not want a Twitter account, you may need to have Pinterest. You need to find a way to reach people where they are. And obviously smartphones are the pretty much like wearing a pair of jeans nowadays. Everyone has one. It's my responsibility to help tell my clients and potential clients that unless you are on social, one, how are you going to reach these people that you think that you need to reach? And number two, if you're on social, are you doing it the right way? And what I find is that people are using social to some extent, but they're not understanding the proper way to use it. And that's how to post and how to reach their core audiences, or how to use Facebook advertising, or whether they should be using, you know, Twitter hashtags or things like that. So it's really helping these businesses, whether it be big or small, understand the importance of social and what's the proper way to use it.
Well, Jason, I know that there's going to be some people listening to this saying, that's all well and good if you're talking about the local dentist or doctor's office.
Right.
I couldn't imagine that the Fortune 500s are still trying to figure out whether or not they want to use social. Do you find that across the full spectrum, or is it more towards the SMB side of the business? Where do you see that major challenge pop up?
I think the major challenge is run with smaller businesses. I think because they are responsible for doing so much social, or they are responsible for doing a lot of the things, whereas they may not hire someone on to do it full time. They need to understand they're the ones that are having the tough time grasping, saying, look, I'm trying to sell in my business, whether it be a small B&B, and they're worrying about running the B&B. The bed and breakfast, as opposed to a Fortune 500 company, which most understand how to use social, how and what to do with it, but there are still the ones out there that are on it that need a better understanding of how to talk to their audiences, you know, how to develop their brand champions. They're just tweeting information or posting information, and they're not engaging. So while on the small business side, we're seeing how they're having a tough time or not wanting to necessarily jump into social, the Fortune 500 companies, while they do it, well, most do it well, there are still the ones that need to understand that to spread their audience and to spread their knowledge and understanding of their business, they need to engage a lot better.
You know, it's interesting. There was a conversation that took place with a prospect for Gagalamp, and one of the things that they had said to us is said, you know, we really want to engage our employees and get people involved. But they don't seem to want to share everything we're putting out. And so what we asked is, you know, well, what kinds of content are you putting out? And they were putting out 100% content about them, meaning the company.
Right.
And so, you know, what we always advise is a mix. So you want to put out some interesting information about the industry in general that you're serving. You certainly want to put some information out about your own company, but you don't really want to make it salesy. You want to make it value add. I'm curious, in your scenarios, what kinds of conversations do you have around the types of content people should be putting out there?
It's got to be conversational. You can't just sound like a talking head and someone that's just popping things up there because they say, well, this is what we're doing and we're great. Absolutely, we want to promote what people are doing in their business and what their products are about. However, people are getting more and more honed in on what they want to hear and what they want to see on a social network. So if you use Brand X and they are just tweeting about or posting about why they've got the best products, great. That may be good for, you know, seeing your message on Facebook, but what are the likes and what are the comments you're getting? You want people to believe in what you're doing. You want your external brand champions to be able to come to your defense or support you when you need them most. And the one thing that I think businesses really fall, one of the faults of businesses nowadays are they continue to feel engagement is just us putting, or we're putting information out there. Oh, we're engaging our public. Well, that's not necessarily true. A conversation on social media should be a two-way street. And that's the one thing I think is most important. Make it a conversation. Make it personal, so that way people feel like they're part of your brand or your product.
Well, it's interesting. A lot of companies are out there, you know, they'll especially first timers, they'll create a Facebook presence, a Twitter presence, and they'll start posting things and they'll put things out there. And they forget that there is that second piece of it, which is, okay, well, what happens when somebody responds? I mean, you really do need to not only think about the kinds of content you want to put out there and the kinds of posts you put out there, but also the kinds of responses that you want. Tell us a little bit about the coaching you give your clients around that.
I always tell them that to think about, look, I always say to them, if you're going to be interested in getting involved with social media. If you could talk to someone one-on-one, you can do social media. If you have a problem connecting, if you have a problem in having a conversation with someone, a one-on-one conversation, you're going to have a little tougher time with social media. What I'll do is I'll coach them through the process. We do posting grids to make sure that their messages are honed and not just rambling messages. We'll go everything to look at posts that they may have on their company blogs that may fit into starting a conversation. It comes back to wanting to create a discussion on what we're doing as a company, but what we're doing as a with a company culture. So if we have a person within the company that is doing something great, we're sharing what they're doing. So that way it makes the brand seem even more human instead of it just being a message from, you know, for example, with BP. It's not just talking about what we're doing in the Gulf. It's telling the story about that person that's making the impact to helping, clean up what happened years ago, things like that. So, and I think it's got to be continually a message of personal. You have to be personal. If social media can't be personal, you shouldn't bother being on it.
See, right there, you lose some business owners, right? Because all of a sudden it's personal. You also potentially can lose some employees because of the term personal. Look, I don't want to get involved. You know, Facebook is my private little space. I don't want to get the company in there and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when you have those conversations about personal, I think what you mean is it's an engagement strategy rather than, pictures of the wife and kids all day long.
Absolutely. It is an engagement strategy. And when I say personal, I don't mean, you know, like, oh, we're going to share a photo of Jane Smith and her family on their trip to Pawtucket over the weekend. It's more of, hey, this is what Jane Smith is doing within our company. She's making an impact every day by, maybe she spends her time volunteering on her lunch break at a food kitchen, or maybe she's decided to help local cancer survivors because cancer has impacted her family. Things like that show the company isn't just about promoting their message of we're the best at XYZ, but we're also promoting who our employees are, what they do, and why it makes it more personal in that sense.
Right. And I'm curious, how do you go about the ROI conversation with your clients? So you identify somebody that clearly could use some help. And then you say, okay, you know, we'd like to come in and help you get your social media ramped up and support you in that. How do you have that conversation with these folks that are already skeptical about social media?
Mm-hmm.
And then say to you, well, Jason, that all sounds well and good, but why should I care? What's in it for
me? Well, I think obviously you can only show a prospective client so many of the successes that are out there. You can only show them so many of the, you know, the auto companies that are doing. You have to really talk to them personally as a business owner, saying, look, why is Facebook and why is social media in general so successful for businesses nowadays? It's because they have a strategy behind it. And you can show them how their business can be impacted. I always like to go from a smaller business perspective. I always like to take three or four of the same, let's say a pizza joint, and show them, hey, these are three of the same pizza places in our area that are successful because they're on social media. And I tell them, granted, I'm not trying to do this because I'm trying to shame you into doing it. What I'm trying to show you is, look at how they've been impacted. Look at the engagement. Look at how they've had their basically pizza brand champions come out and support them and say, this is the best pizza in town. You need to be part of that conversation. You need to show people that, hey, I know we have the best. We've been rated the best, but no one knows about it. So I always try to bring it back to how it can help them from a bottom line standpoint, but also from a social standpoint. It comes down to doing some auditing too. I always like to come out and do an audit of their brand, whether they're on Facebook or not, take a look at their website, take a look at their marketing and see what they've done out in the public in traditional marketing, and seeing how we can, A, save some money for them, and that way they can invest it in other areas, including social, and B, show them that in this day and age, it's so very important to get your customers where they are. And sometimes that's mobile. Sometimes that's, you know, hitting them on their social network. So I try to give them as much information as possible, not to shame them, but to make them feel more intelligent about how these newer tools can help their business.
Yeah, it can be really powerful to do that audit. And in fact, it reminds me of something that I was taught by somebody that I'd worked for many moons ago. And they were not knee-deep in technology, let's say that. But one of the things that they did, which I thought was really, really powerful, was very, you know, what I would consider more old school, which is literally go to the website, find every piece of documentation you can, and print everything out.
Mm-hmm.
Put it on a huge table and look at it from that perspective. Because all of a sudden now, you know, whereas when you're looking on a website, you're looking at one screen. You have to pull up another screen and kind of compare.
Right.
Whereas you put everything out on a table, everything's printed out. You get to see, oh, look, I'm using an old logo here. Oh, I've got some color differentiation over here that doesn't really go with the brand. And all of a sudden, things that would have fallen through the cracks are now just right in your face. And I'm curious, when you go about and do an audit, what kind of tactics do you use?
Well, you know, I go about it doing, I like that example that you use, because I go right to the website, especially if most clients have the website. I go right there and see what they're doing. And from it strips from there, because I can then say, look, your website is either not up to snuff, or you have a good website. You know, one of the things that I do, and I learned this from my colleague Shanali Burke, is you look at a website as the hub of the wheel. And the website should be the one thing that supports everything else. If you don't have a good website, if it's cluttered or there are different logos, like you said, you print all those things out and everything doesn't fit, that wheel isn't going to be very supportive. It means your social networks aren't going to be as good, your blog's not going to be as good, things like that. So one of the things I come right back to is that website and looking at it really with a fine-tooth comb and seeing, are they able to reach who they need to reach right away? Because let's be honest, if your website isn't up to snuff, or it's not clean in the sense of being able to be navigated well, you're going to lose customers. They're going to go to somewhere where they can either order online or they can book their trip online, things like that. It's got to be to the point of where your website needs to be as sparkly clean as possible. Otherwise, you're going to lose your business. So one of the things I do first is go right to the website. And then I take my audit from there and break it down from engagement and, you know, looking at the likes and looking at what their message is like. Are the pictures on there blurry on their Facebook pages? So it stems out, it goes straight, starts with the website and stretches straight out.
Excellent. And my goodness, we could go on forever with this, but we do have to wrap up the show. But I do want to ask you one more question, which is, if there's one thing that our listeners could be doing today and put into action to impact their social media marketing, what would that one thing be?
Well, I would say think of your customers online not as followers and friends. Think of them as people that you can have a conversation with. I'm not saying you have to, you know, sit there and have a 20-minute talk on Facebook about what you're doing, but make them feel part of the conversation. Make them feel like they have a reason to want to like you. You know, the one thing that always strikes me with brands or even just businesses on Facebook is taking for granted of those likes and those followers. They like you for a reason. Give them a reason to continue to follow you. Keep them part of your conversation. Talk to them. Make them feel like they're walking into your store, or make them feel like they're walking into a store and they're shaking your virtual hand. You want them to feel like they're part of something. Don't mistake social media for just a technological tool. It's a business tool, and it's a tool to reach your business with other people that you normally would not. So make it like a storefront and make sure you're using social as a personal tool and make them feel part of that business.
It's great advice. Jason, how can people get in touch with you?
People can find me from my website. It's jrmcomm.com. You can also find me on Twitter at JAS Mollica, M-O-L-L-I-C-A. I'm on Facebook at Jason Mollica as well. And I also have a blog where I blog about PR, marketing, and everything in between. It's oneguysjourney.wordpress.com.
Excellent. Jason, thanks so much for being on the show, and come back anytime.
I would love to. Thanks, Glenn. I appreciate you having me.
And thank you to you for listening to another episode of Amp Up Your Social Media.
You've been listening to Amp Up Your Social Media on the FIR Podcast Network, brought to you in association with Lawrence Reagan Communications, serving communicators worldwide for more than 35 years. You'll find more information at www.reagan.com. That's R-A-G-A-N. Amp Up Your Social Media is a podcast about how to get the most out of social media, hosted by Glenn Gaudette of Gaggle Amp. Amp Up Your Social Media is part of the FIR Podcast Network, a series of business podcasts founded by Neville Hobson and Shel Holtz. The anchor podcast is the Hobson and Holtz Report, a weekly show presented since January 2005. For more information about FIR, to see show notes for the podcasts, and to subscribe, visit www.forimmediaterelease.biz. You can also subscribe via iTunes and other podcast directories. We welcome your comments about Amp Up Your Social Media. Join the conversation in the FIR community on Google+. Look for the FIR Podcast Community or email us at FIRcomments@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.